discretion is advised as we cover many an insane movie and numerous cult TV phenomenons. Now, are you ready to get jacked up? Are you with us? Then listen on.
Breathe, inhale, exhale, go, dude. And with that being said, I am back here to discuss the 10 best Weird Al songs of all time in no order. And with me is Daniel Nightmare Nerd Ryan. Say hi.
Greetings, horror fanatics.
And Johnny Patoki of Attack of the Bee Movies Podcast.
How's it going? Glad to be here.
I cannot complain. I'm glad you guys are here to join me.
I need to come up with a better nickname, because Nightmare Nerd is damn good.
Yeah, I don't think anyone can beat that. I'm like Obi-Wan in Star Wars. I want to go home and rethink my life.
Of course, I've been called a lot of other things throughout my life, so.
Oh, man. Daniel, you always got to end with a very deep, very depressing comment.
I take it to Roddy Dangerfield, you know, self-deprecating humor.
You got me beat. I do pretty much beat myself up, but.
Hey, it's a good thing my wife cheats on me. We got very attractive kids.
Oh, shit. Well, on that note, I'll lean into this. Weird Al, what was your introduction to him? I'll go with you first, Johnny.
It was probably the mid-80s, and it would have been the album that had Bad on it. Not Bad, okay. Fat. The Bad,
yeah.
Parody song, Fat. I'm Fat. Right. It was probably that one is where it started. And then I kind of started listening to earlier stuff and kept up with them probably through the early 2000s, I want to say. But that was probably the intro to it.
That's great. Daniel, how did you come across this legend of comedy?
Well, in all honesty, I was probably loosely aware of him in the 80s, because that's my childhood. But my main memory was actually the album Alapalooza, where he spoofed Jurassic Park.
Okay, nice.
That's one of my most vivid early cinematic experiences, and so that movie was so big, and that song definitely stuck out to me.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, there was just no not avoiding it. I mean, he even titled the damn song Jurassic Park. So I mean, it was interesting, because you know, my uncle and parents would talk about him here and there. You know, there was no not hearing about him. You know, he just squeezed his way. He was a chameleon. He was just on everything. He was on every kind of talk show, every kind of comedy show. My mother, I mean, just would talk about him, because he would just appear here and there. Like, he'd be on VH1 doing fake interviews with celebrities, and then he was on so many other song compilations, including, you know, Yoda, which is a parody of the Kinks' Lola, and then mm-hmm. he'd appear on a bunch of other just CD albums, like, you know, Spy Hard, and then there was one of the Pokemon movies. He just always was everywhere, and there was no not escaping him. And it was interesting how he appealed to everybody, even though he wasn't necessarily foul-mouthed, you know, but mm-hmm. he could get pretty dark once in a while. You know, he'd make pretty off-color, you know, jokes about people being fat, but it wasn't ever in a way where it's like, wow, he's really being rude. You know, he's like, well, he's just being off color, but he has everyone's instant respect, because he is putting some serious thought into these parodies, and he's kind of making the songs that his own. That's what's so scary, how cool he is at it.
And still going strong.
Yeah, and it really shows. I mean, the sheer variety of styles he performed his parodies in, from rock to pop to polka. I mean, it really showcased how talented he was, not Absolutely. Only to come up with the lyrics that, you know, work well, but the musicality of it and playing it was, he's super talented all around.
I saw in a, yeah, absolutely. I saw in a recent article on, which was talking about the difference between, you know, a critique and parody. And they brought up his, modus operandi as an example, in that he he, or at least Sony, when he was working with them, would always, you know, just flat out just ask the artist up front. He's like, hey, can I make fun of you? And he only got turned down once, and I think it was like an American Idol song or something, and he had changed the lyrics to where it's like, I'm so pathetic or something like that. He had changed the lyrics to where it was that, and that guy was not, that was the only person who was...
Sorry to interrupt there. I was saying to John earlier that his one song where he spoofed Madonna, Like a Surgeon, story is she begged him to do that. She chased him for several years saying, when are you going to spoof me? And he finally did it just to shut her up.
Yeah.
At that point, being spoofed by Weird Al, that was a musical honor. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But really, by the mid-80s, throughout probably now even, most groups or musicians are pretty honored when he does it, like you were saying. It's kind of like high praise in a way.
Yeah, it's and I mean, it's not exactly, I can't even put it in the same kind of loophole as like, hey, can my cheesy movie be on, you know, Riff Tracks or Mr. Science Theater? No, it's more just kind of like, I want to see how he does it, you know, how he reinterprets it.
Senpai noticed me!
Right? And and it's crazy good, because I mean, I think it was the artist who did I'm So Wide and Nerdy. You know, I didn't know anything about that song, but that song, his version got so much airplay to where a lot of people said it was even better than the actual material. Like, it was way more thought out. I mean, it's even better known. Like, yeah, that rap artist has done nothing since.
Chameleon Air really didn't take off the way people expected with Raiden, but because that's the only song I ever remember by him. But every time I hear the beginning of the real song, I think White and Nerdy.
Absolutely. And I mean, on rare occasions, his songs will get played on the radio. About 5 years ago, I was, you know, applying for crappy places like Amazon. And next thing I know, I'm hearing, you know, what I believe is, you know, Our Love's in Jeopardy. And then I listen to it longer. I'm like, hold on a damn minute. That's not the song. I'm like, oh, it's his song. You know, I lost on Jeopardy. Yeah. So he really, he is also just, he did a good job.
Right, how are you lost?
Right.
Let's see what you've lost.
He did a good job of just assembling just this crew so they could replicate it. And, you know, nowadays, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm not here to shit on YouTube people. You do what you got to do. But, like, so many of them will just, you know, go to a site or just find a way to just remove the, you know, keep the acoustics, remove the lyrics. And, I mean, that's one way to do it, but that does lead yourself to a little more than just fair use, where it's like, okay, yeah, now they're going to make all the money off your video.
Since you said acoustics, do you guys know the full story behind his first parody?
Please elaborate me. I am not familiar with that side of him before we get into our top 10. Okay.
This is the story how Al's career really got launched here. He was a childhood musical prodigy, and his parents made him play accordion because they share the name Yankovic with a famous radio artist who was an accordion player. But
my dad actually, and my grandmother, thought he was actually related to that guy.
So did my dad, but no, they're not related.
I found that out later in life and was devastated.
So he made it work for himself. No, that's interesting, because, I mean, he does do a lot of polka stuff in between, and it's basically he'll just, you know, modify it all. And it's a very cool matter, because you just don't know when he's going to do it. It's always like it's not a hidden track, but it's like in between. It's like his breather in between. Yeah.
But I'd interrupt again, but in his own words, the story was he was working as a DJ on his college radio station the summer that the song My Vashona became a big hit. And he got so sick of playing it over and over again that one day in the DJ booth, he wrote a spoof, My Bologna. just wrote the lyrics out, grabbed his accordion, went across the hallway to a bathroom, because in his words, better acoustics in there, recorded his song, My Bologna, with his accordion, played in his college radio station, and people loved it.
Holy shit, man.
And someone sent a recording to the Dr. Demento radio show. Dr. Demento played it, and suddenly it's at the top of the charts, and the name Al Yankovic, he's a star.
the end part of that I remember. I didn't know he recorded in the bathroom in that, though, but the end part of that I remember.
That's wild.
And, And since you mentioned I Lost on Jeopardy, Dr. Demento has a cameo in that, because Al feels grateful to him to this day, saying he made me. He made my career.
Very nice. You
know, and speaking of the videos, too, that's the other thing is that, you know, in the 80s, MTV was just coming up, and MTV actually played videos. And,
right.
And, like, bands still have videos now, but it seems like I only see them on YouTube, and I don't see them on TV anymore. But,
yeah,
you know, there were so many bands competing for videos. He made sure to do a great job parodying the videos that a lot of the bands had, or being creative with his videos along with the music. Absolutely. He was a rarity that he was able to have the proper people and do both successfully. Because like his what's the parody of the Pretty Fly for a Rabbi? The video's great.
Pretty Fly for a Rabbi.
Yeah, Pretty Fly for a White Guy is the Offspring song.
Right. And he's just going full blown. He's dressed as a rabbi, and it's very cool. What would you say that's your number one song for him?
Oh, my number one. It's so hard, man. We're
doing this in no order. So, I mean, I've already mentioned Jeopardy.
I like a lot of those old ones, but I'm a huge Offspring fan, which really shows that I haven't, like, my mentality stops in like 2005.
It's fine. Everyone was burned out. I was kind of getting sick of a lot of stuff because I was starting to see just money on the screen versus entertainment. I'm like, what's going on?
Well, no, I still like them. It's just in Chicago, I was offline. I was talking with Daniel, and it was, you know, in Chicago, we have a large rock community, but we've had shitty rock stations for 20 years, if not 30, you know? You didn't really hear much of like what I liked. So yeah, Pretty Fly for a Rabbi is pretty good, but I'm gonna have to say, if I had to pick one that I think song and video is fantastic, I'd go with The Saga Begins. I'm a Star Wars guy, number one, and number two, that actually makes the prequels tolerable to me.
That's fine.
Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, it's a funny video. I mean, he's dressed up.
It's a great video.
Obi-Wan or Anakin, one of the two, and he's just playing the banjo in the sand.
His concert performances of that are phenomenal.
And I hate to say, because I really don't. My ex-wife was an art major, and every time we'd hang out with her friends, they'd get drunk and high and sing American Pie, and I hate that song to this day now. I think his version is far better.
And that's pretty much the magic of him. He's making it his own. I mean, and there's plenty of songs I'm going to list on here. Is like, I can't stand the original, but I will listen to his song every day because it's a whole different thing. So, Daniel, I'll let you go and pick number three. What's a song that just really stuck with you? Is like, I quote, listen on a daily basis.
Well, so I wouldn't say daily, but I was saying this before offline. One song that's more obscure of his that has a special meaning to me because I lived it a couple years ago, Traffic Jam, Malapalooza.
Oh, shit. Man. So.
Yeah, because a couple years ago in the Northeast, we had a really tragic snowstorm where I was driving home from my job at the time and spent 5 hours stuck in like just a few mile stretch of road. And I listened to that song over and over and over just to keep my sanity.
It really is just a fun, laid out one. And like you say, you can kind of feel a bit of the pain. It reads on screen. Just
one thing I know, shouldn't have had the bag of bread muffins an hour and a half ago.
Yeah, he does bring up food quite a lot, restroom, and he does it kind of in a more artistic way without being just flat out gross. But I mean, he will be over the top, but it's kind of a controlled, like he's restrained without taking a risk. He's
well, there's a boy like zooming by. Watch what happens when I open the door.
Yeah, you can tell he is spending so much time just coming up with these and until it sticks and everybody's laughing. And I mean, don't get me wrong, he's got a crew, but I mean, everybody loves working with him. Everybody loves talking about him. Everyone, like you say, is in suspense.
I've never heard a bad word about him.
Yeah, I've only met one person who was a douchebag who didn't like him, but that's just it. He just pretty much just came off as just arrogant, not easily amused. So pretty much it. I mean, it's going to be rare that you hear anybody who doesn't find him funny or doesn't like.
We'll return after these messages.
Hey, Feeling down? Feeling low? Not enough podcasts about movies in your life? Why not try?
They must be destroyed on sight!
The new podcast cure-all, sure to get you right with the world and on a path to better living. We have exploitation, we have Italian horror, we have zombies, we have slashers, we have crime films, we have spaghetti westerns, we even have sci-fi and sex comedies. So take a dose of...
They must be destroyed on sight!
As needed, and let the hosts, Lee Russell, Daniel Harper, Paul Romali, and the odd guest host cure what ails you.
Warning, may cause atrophy, African consumption, black fever, bone shave, chin puff, colic, cramp colic, dropsy of the brain, elephantitis, grocer's itch, jaundice, mania, miasma, mortification, palsy, Pott's disease, rheumatism, scurvy, St. Anthony's fire, summer complaint, and worm fit in some people. Consult a physician before listening.
Hey, I heard you like movies.
I heard you like to hustle.
I heard you like podcasts.
Well, guess what?
There's a podcast for you out there called The Home Video Hustle.
Damn right.
Every Friday, we talk about whatever movie PJ picks out the bag. What does that mean? Every Wednesday on our YouTube page, I put a bunch of movies in a bag, and PJ picks one out at random. And then we just watch it. We talk about it for maybe like an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever we feel like doing, wherever the conversation leads us.
But do we actually talk about the movie?
Most of the time.
Ah.
Tangents galore.
Yes.
So believe me, we may be a movie podcast, but it's not always about movies. We might talk about video games.
Mm-hmm. Music. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the big one, music. Sometimes we might get a little bit of politicalness in there.
Yes.
Sometimes we may just, oh, we know what we like to do. We like to tell stories, PJ.
Ah, yes.
I am the master storyteller
yes.
of the podcast realm. Undefeated. So if you like to hear about movies, video games, whatever foolishness comes to our mind, the most random stuff you can think of, check out the Home Video Hustle. You can find us on the Stitchers.
Yes.
The Google Play.
Yes.
Apple Podcasts.
What else?
Podbean.
What else?
Podcast Addict.
Goddamn.
All that. Ain't no reason you can't get your hustle on. We everywhere. Worldwide, baby.
Hustle, motherfucker. Hustle.
Hey, we can't cuss in the promo, PJ.
Ah.
We gotta be family friendly. There may be podcasts out there that don't want his hair to say
ah.
All that good fun stuff.
Well, you.
don't run the listeners away, PJ.
Ah, I'm sorry.
But this is going kind of long.
Yes.
So we'll end this and say, hey, check out the Home Video Hustle every Friday on all the various podcast outlets. Peace.
Peace.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster. And while Witch didn't make it to the top of the world, he did make the Gangs of Hollywood podcast. So join the gang and enjoy a movie review podcast about movie gangs, gangsters, mobsters, and the mayhem they cause. You can find GOH Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. At GOHpod, at www.gohpod.com, as well as your favorite podcast listening app. And remember, say hello to your little friend for me.
If you take two old punk rockers who are past their prime, put them in front of a movie screen and give them a podcast, what do you get? Cinema Punks. Cinepunks. It's the mixtape of movies.
Did you ever see a film at such a young age it left you traumatized with cinematic wounds?
Necrophilia.
It's a dead issue, man. Don't push it. Cinema Psyops is a weekly podcast documenting an ongoing experiment on the mind of an unwilling test subject.
No one should have to watch this movie.
Oh, no one should have to watch this.
No one should have to watch this movie.
Surprisingly, it's not a topic that a lot of people really want to tackle.
I'm shocked. Prudes.
I know, really.
Right?
It's the next sexual frontier that no one wants to explore.
I am, in the most sincerest of senses, disappointed in it.
It takes a powerful goddess like Connie, jam her arm down the monster's throat and kill it. Oh, I'm still tripping out over that. Even as a kid, I was like, I gotta find a girl like that. Every week, I get a new look of disappointment that I never thought I could get out of
it. Unimaginable. At 12 years old, you should not be watching this movie.
Obviously.
At 13, you should not be. 14, you shouldn't be. I'm not entirely sure even 17-year-olds should be watching this movie.
Just because you're offended by something doesn't mean that you have the right to demand that it doesn't exist. Watching this film again, I had all of this like little nerd glee with everything that kept popping up.
Little history doll popping up at you.
So I totally loved this film.
Hey, I know why you know, couldn't see that. It's because your brain's warped watching this shit at 12 years old.
Yeah, this is a rough movie. I told you ahead of time when we were getting ready to do it that it was going to be a rough
movie. How did you watch this shit at 12?
Because physical wounds heal, cinematic ones don't. Listen to Cinema Psyops.
It's time, let's check our cue, baby. Pair it with a couple brews, baby. We love good movies. We love the bad ones too. So we watch them all and pass their lessons on to you. Oh yeah.
Bana 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 bana.
Everything I learned from movies helps to make life a little bit groovy. With a one-last plot holes, a gratuitous movies. It's time to get busy with your friend Steven Izzy.
At EILFM.podbean.com.
We now continue with our program.
I'll give you another choice of mine. I'm going to go with from the UHF soundtrack itself. Yeah, a little known cult movie he did. She Drives Like Crazy, which is, of course, making fun of the, you know, Drives Me Crazy by Fine Young Cannibals. It is just an outrageous song. He mixes in, you know, some actual car crashes. And it's just, again, it's a relatable subject. So that's why it works as a song. It's like, oh my God. She drives like crazy. It's like... I mean, he's actually, and that's just it too. He goes all the way. I mean, I don't know how he does his vocals, but holy shit, he goes all the way, making sure that he's singing it exactly how that original author sang it, while still, you know, he's enjoying every minute of this. You know, how much fun is it to just joke around?
I mean, as strange a comparison as may be, I compare Al to Tiny Tim. And that he really can't pitch his voice all over the range. It's actually an impressive musical talent.
Absolutely. I mean, you're never going to see his voice go out. I don't know how he does it all at concerts, but I mean, like you say, he kind of controls it all. It's he's prepped it enough, and I mean, it's comedic enough. I'm sure he might break a note and have the crowd sing it along with him because they're joking around too. I'll go to the next one, a very rediscovered favorite, Alsuya, which is a spoof of various Rage Against the Machine songs. And he even animated the video, much like how they do. You know, they were doing it before Gorillaz was. And, I mean,
yep.
His lyrics are so over the top here, you know. Just basically, he's playing a dipshit who basically is doing everything wrong and wants to sue every single company. I ate 500,000 chalupas and got fat. I'll sue you, Taco Bell. He used a microwave to dry off my cat. I'm going to sue you, Panasonic. And then at the very end, he's like, I want to sue Ben Affleck. And then he's like, oh, God, do I even need a reason? Because, you know, this is around the time when it was cool to hate him. So it's just funny. It's over the top.
Would be wrong.
Yeah, wouldn't be wrong half the time. Colorado looks a lot like Wyoming. I'm like, so I'm going to sue the state of Colorado. It's like, holy fucking shit, dude. You got issues. So it really is cool just seeing him just go the length, and a few people were commentating on how that's kind of as original as he got, even with his raps on that song. I'm like, yes, that is really true. He really pretty much did make that song his own. So I'll let you, Johnny, pick another one just for number six.
Ooh,
just one that just you can't help but kind of want to even dance to. It just gets stuck in your head, you know.
I'm going to go, again, a tough choice because there were so many great ones he did, especially in the decade I was a kid, the 80s, you know.
I only got 40 minutes.
I'm going to go with I Think I'm a Clone Now.
Yes, that's a good one.
Which is, I think it's not one a lot of people know or hear, but it's such a great version. Yeah, it's such a great version of I Think We're Alone Now, and the video, again, was hilarious, too.
Yeah, absolutely. He,
you know, sorry.
Go ahead.
When I was in junior high, I wasn't in the chorus, but I remember they fought tooth and nail to get the chorus director to let them sing that for one concert, and it was such a triumph when he actually agreed.
That's wild.
It's done so well that if you're not paying attention, you think it's the actual song.
Yeah, and that's just it. He has a great crew who shares his sense of passion and humor. They don't want to just do a good job. They do want to legit, you know, I wouldn't say pay tribute necessarily, but at the same time, they're not being negative. They're not bashing.
Right.
But they are flat out just saying, you know, we're going to replicate it. And we're going to catch you off guard. That's going to play into this whole comedic routine.
And I mean, some of the songs he spoofed really are one-hit wonders where that band, that artist have since faded off, but yet his version lives on.
Yeah. I've growing up, you know, I was still learning music and I had to look up. I'm like, what the hell is he referencing? You know, now I'm like, oh, yeah, that radio hit that hit the top 250. Another one that I, you know, is not my favorite song, but was a favorite in high school to every random girl or gay man, was probably, you know, Party in the USA. But I'm sorry, I will listen endlessly to his spoof Party in the CIA, you know, and yep. he adds hysterical, you know, silenced pistol noises, and it's just, it just does, it's an interesting commentary. It's like, yeah, it is, you know, spies do unethical shit. That's really messed up. You know, use you as a table and then, you know, torture you. You want a bite to eat? I'm going to beat the shit out of you before you get a bite. I'll let you pick another one, Daniel. It's like, can't not think about it. Just...
And honestly, one we've already mentioned, I Lost on Jeopardy.
Fantastic pick.
That's one I think you can tell he put a lot of effort into in terms of creating the lyrics, and the video particularly had so much creativity.
Absolutely.
The fact that he had Don Pardo, the original Jeopardy, you know, prize host, was just phenomenal.
And it's so great when they're like, let's see what you've lost, Al.
I didn't.
You don't get to come back tomorrow, Al. You're a complete loser.
I couldn't tell if so that good. Was all pre-recorded or if he was doing an after fact, but I do remember the video and him participating in it. So, no, that's very cool.
Not just Jeopardy, any game show, when someone has really just flubbed it up so badly, that song immediately comes to mind. Just the, you know, oh, you brought shame and humiliation to your family and made yourself you're in front of millions of people.
Oh, my God. And I take it we've all listened to Fat.
Of course.
That's easily like one of his penultimate hits.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Then there's... I'm not as keen as I Love Rocky Road, but that was brilliant. Just, I'm going to eat all this fucking ice cream. You know? I can't not eat it.
kind of hits close to home.
Yeah.
talk about, you know, when MTV used to show videos, I remember seeing, I forget if it was MTV or VH1, but I saw an interview where Al talked about making the video for Fat and how he would be eating lunch while they were putting all the makeup on him and the prosthetics and whatnot, he would stop and think, you know, should I actually have this brownie? Or
oh man, method acting here. Oh damn. What do you guys think of Poodle Hat?
Honestly, I would not rate that among his top, but
yeah, I wouldn't either.
Okay, no, that's fine. No, I'll pass it on then. I was just kind of iffy on it because it was kind of more of a in between kind of jokey track, like a Tenacious D thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give you a better one. I can't not listen to it. I probably listen to it every other month, let alone just every year. Cause I mean, I've been doing it since age 12, eBay.
Oh, not a,
it's not a bad one.
Yeah. Cause I relate to it all. It's just the stupid shit that you find on there, the timers going off before, you know, you may or may not win the bid. And it's just a very well constructed. It took me years to not only for me and my brother to get the lyrics and have them memorized, but also just know every single reference. It's like, Bill Shatner's old toupee. Use Kleenex by Dr. Dre.
That generation where eBay was hot, where you'd find the most obscure bullshit.
Absolutely.
Now it's pretty much just like legit. Now it's legit stuff that fell off a truck.
That Pavarotti's, you know, jockstrap kind of thing.
Yeah, stuff that you can get cheap on, like, on Amazon, where it's like, no way am I paying $200 for that rare, you know, workout tape. It's stupid. Yeah, so
I hope he does one for Wish.com, because the ads that pop up with the crap they sell. Oof.
I'm sure he might. I mean, he's bound to do that, or some other just Hot Topic or Target, something that everybody knows. And that's just it, too. He knew how to just crack onto various trends. He definitely, I mean, he's just very observational. I mean, I'm sure his PR team is also doing that, too. But, I mean, he's also definitely just, I mean, just listen to his lyrics. He has his own trademark. You just know he's going to bring up, again, just like something outrageous about being in the kitchen or about making his wife happy or something's like, yeah, I can relate to that. And I think that's just it too. I mean, and just going back briefly to UHF, which again, Trace Bayou and Frank Conniff on their The Mads Are Back or Movie Sign with the Mads podcast really did bring up a good point on how he never took it hard. He just knew that the right people would get it. So, you know, when UHF didn't make money, you know, here, lo and behold, it's already got a Blu-ray release, and again, the soundtrack and everything. So it's a hit. I have never encountered anyone who, you know, doesn't like it. But it's just interesting how, again, he has that similar mentality like other comedians, where it's like, the right people will get my shit. You know, if I got 20 laughs, no problem. If they didn't find it funny, well, they might laugh at how it wasn't funny. You know, it's just something like that. He just has that healthy feel. And, you know, most comedians do come from, much like us, come from a dark place or just from a crappy time in their life. And it's interesting how he, you know, I don't know what he did growing up. I'm sure he was the outcast in school who just listened to too much bullshit. And
if your parents have you playing the accordion, you're probably not going to be the most popular kid in your school.
Well, yeah. Right. So I'm sure he channeled that anger of it and said, you know, why do I fucking hate this?
Although you got to admit, he did for the accordion what like AC/DC and the Dropkick Murphys did for bagpipes.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he made it cool kind of, you know, somehow.
In a way, it's like, hey, you dared to do it. Unlike us, you know? So, that very good point. So I'll let you pick, like, a final one. It's like, one that everybody has to at least listen to. I know you're talking about, like, Jurassic Park. Is that the best one?
I've got a rather obscure one, if I may.
Okay.
Dare to be Stupid.
Oh, it's a great one.
Oh, yes.
I was just thinking about that.
An entire generation knows that from the Transformers
movie. Yeah, the movie soundtrack.
But in all honesty, the song, it has incredible energy. The lyrics really are. They're nonsensical, but highly original.
Yeah, and he was making fun of, I'm turning Japanese or something.
But when you hear that song, you can't not think of the Transformers. It's just not possible.
That's true, too, but it was his original song, or was he?
It was an original song, yeah, and he styled it. Yeah, he styled it after Devo.
Okay, yeah. That's
it was original, yeah.
Okay, yeah, because, it would always pop up on that movie's soundtrack, as well as just other,
Let's clarify, too, you're not talking about the Michael Bay Transformers.
No, the 1986 one.
Right.
More or less, it's just interesting how so many other, just for a while when I was on Newgrounds and Albino Black Sheep and other, you know, YouTube channels, a lot of people would have that, you know, sneak that song into just funny, like, as a little bumper. And so it was just kind of funny seeing that song kind of live on, how every comedic persona loves that song. It literally sings to them. It just, and I mean, it is a
It's funny, also been culturally, song. It's been culturally relevant for 40 years.
Right. Don't be stupid. Yeah, and he does. There's a lot of Three Stooges kind of mentioned lyrics in the whole realm of the song too. So it's just very cool how, in fact, very much like Stooges, how this guy has.
It's one of his most obscure songs, yet it's also one of his most well known ones. But people wouldn't make.
Yeah. On vague occasions, I hear it on a few radio stations, like maybe at 2 a.m. or on like kind of a Friday But yeah, like you say, it's one of his best known, but not, it's not like in the first songs that come up even on playlists and all that. So it, yeah. It's an interesting how, that's also just the beauty of him, how he essentially, he's done enough where you know him from something, you know? And if you know him just from his TV appearances, well, yeah, he had his own show. He had, and again, he's done all these spoof things. He's appeared, if he's been with any comedic persona, chances are he's appeared on their show. You know, he was on Tim and Eric in a random skit, which made no fucking sense, but he was absolutely outrageous. He's just basically walking a bride down the aisle. And he's like, here she comes.
He was, you know, a show I'm so sad got canceled, Happy. He was in season 2.
Oh, wow. Yep.
He voiced an imaginary friend.
And then here he is doing some of these cartoon voiceovers. I'm sure he's done the rounds on Nickelodeon. And
yep, no doubt.
And oh well, yeah, there's an artist he could make fun of. That'd be funny if you made fun of him, no doubt. So who do you think he'll make fun of in the future? Like, I mean, he's done it all. He's done Gaga. He's done Rolling Stones. He's done.
I mean, I guess we just got to wait and see who's going to be the next big, like, quote unquote pop sensation. I mean, there's a lot of K-pop stuff out there he can make fun of.
Yeah,
K-pop's gotten popular in America, which is funny because if they're singing K-pop in English, is it really K-pop anymore, or is it just pop?
K-ing-pop.
Right, because yeah. K-pop is Korean pop. So if they're singing in English, yeah. It's kind of like, aren't you just now pop? I don't know.
There you go. I was telling Johnny, you know, before this episode, how are you familiar, Daniel, with Richard Cheese?
Not quite. I know, but
he's known under his real name, Mark Jonathan Davies, the comedian. So, and basically his whole shtick, he's kind of like, I don't want to call him like the next Weird Al, because, you know, how can you be the next Weird Al? But I mean, he's kind of that same kind of vein, much like him in Tenacious D, where his shtick is that he's going to sing a popular rap, rock, or pop song, often one with very explicit, not safe for work lyrics, and he's going to do it in a lounge singing mode. And so that's what's just so funny, is just he adds his own take, sometimes he adds his own lyrics, and he even jokes around. He does a lot of live albums. He's like, oh, fucking copyright, things you got to do for a laugh, you know. So he really does joke around, and it would be cool if Weird Al or any other comedic and singing persona, I know Kate Mikushi is one, and just would join him in some big ensemble, and they did some kind of epic soundtrack together with a certain theme.
Now that's what I call parodies.
There you go. Make a pop or parody bop instead of kids bop or some bullshit. Yeah. I know a song that gets on everybody's nerves. All right. So I'm going to let you guys, this has been really lovely and quick to the point. So I'm going to let you guys plug yourselves before we run out of 40 minutes on this damn Zoom call.
Well, if I may go first.
Sure, go ahead.
Daniel Nightmare Nerd Ryan, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You know, I'm also writing articles for House of Tortured Souls. I've got a video coming up this weekend, a review for Deadly Grounds Coffee. Please keep your eyes peeled. And as I like to say, eat, drink, and be scary.
Woo!
Nice.
All right, Johnny, you just got a new host on your podcast. Really nice.
I did. So, yeah. What did you think of him?
You guys literally just Laurel and Hardy, back and forth, back and forth. It's just very in sync with each other.
Yeah, I think it worked out well. So, yeah, Johnny Cokie.
Here's another fine mess you got me into.
What was that?
Here's another fine mess you got me into.
Attack of the B-Movie podcast. You can find us on Facebook, the Attack of the B-Movies podcast. We have our page there. You find us on iTunes, iHeartRadio now, I believe.
Really?
We're on Spotify. We have a website you can go to. Well, the website, you can find it on the page. But yeah, you can find us on lots of things now. I did some hard work to make sure of it.
I
just gotta work on plugging myself better.
We're having to figure that out too. Both
yeah, me too.
Candy's podcast and just basically because you pretty much got to promote it a week in advance or days in advance and just before it premieres.
That's one of my biggest weaknesses.
is hard because it's like you're doing double the work, basically.
Well, my biggest thing was just getting it, because I host it myself on my website. So my biggest thing was just getting the RSS feed or XML feed on everything. So yeah. I could say you could find us on Spotify, you could find us on iTunes, you could find us on, like I said, iHeartRadio, I think it is, and a couple other ones, because everyone uses something different.
Right. And I mean, it's not like with phones or electronics where, you know, you got to be picky about, hey, you know, this is the cooler one. It's like, no, it's all relevant. And just like DVD, Blu-ray, or just streaming, you know, it's like, it's good to have options. Just if you want to do it that way, then you do it that way. But if you can't, then it's only exclusive on that format. So.
Well, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
The Jacked Up Review Show can also be followed on Facebook on both the page and the group. Feel free to chat, leave questions, make requests for future episodes. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you so much for your various support, and we'll continue to entertain the hell out of you. Till then, take care.